Following program deals with military and veteran issues. All comments and opinions expressed on this show are those who made them. They do not reflect the opinions of the Church of Satan or Radio Free Satan. So on with the show.
Welcome to the official Infernal Legion podcast. This is our first ever special news episode just for military and veterans news. We'll come up with a cooler title for it by the next time, I promise. But in the meantime, this is what we're doing. Thank you all for tuning in. I am Warlock Jeff Bowling, the commander of the Infernal Legion and the host of this podcast. And with me is my co-host, Satanist Dwayne Burns, the VSO for the Infernal Legion. Dwayne, how the hell are you, sir?
I'm doing good. Family's healthy. Nursing Alyssa a little bit. She decided to challenge the Florida sun and got second degree burns from her shoulder down to her elbow.
Oh, it's terrible.
Terrible.
And of course, joining us is our lovable producer, Warlock Jeff Ivins, the communications officer for the Infernal Legion. Jeff, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good. But lovable?
Yeah, I always say lovable, because you are. You're like a big teddy bear. A big...
No, that's Dwayne.
I'm fucking big, but...
Okay, you're a grizzly bear.
You guys found that out at Devil's Reign.
Yeah.
So apparently, Jay Nothing here has some big news that he's waiting a week before he tells us, and he's got us all strung along, wondering what the big news is. So I encourage all of our listeners to hit him up on Facebook and Twitter and just blow him up asking what the big news is.
Fuck you. Ain't gonna say a word.
All right. So like I said earlier in the month when we did our Wicked Warrior of the Month podcast, a lot of people who listen to the show have been reaching out to me and saying that they wanted to hear more from the Warrior, particularly stories and things like that. So we decided that what we were going to do is give them an episode all to themselves, which we did a couple weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago now, with Lieutenant Greg Willington, the Wicked Warrior of the Month for June 2020. But then I had another group of listeners tell me that they really wanted to hear more about what's going on in the military, what's going on with the VA system. So we decided that we're just going to split it up and have two shows every month, and I'm sure everyone at Radio Free Satan said, fuck.
But we do appreciate the platform. Yes.
Absolutely. Big shout out to Radio Free Satan. And later on in the episode, about the halfway point, there'll be an advertisement break, as all of you well know, that will tell you what other fantastic shows are available on this platform.
Like mine.
Like the five shows that Jay Nothing runs.
I'm YouTube.
I cleared it up.
Good?
You good now? Uh-oh. He's checking.
All right. Apologies for that, ladies and gentlemen. We had some serious technical difficulties there, but all you missed was just a lame joke from Dwayne anyway. So... So let's jump into it, gentlemen. Let's start with the way we're going to work this new segment is we're going to do one story from each branch of service and then one story from the Department of Veterans Affairs. We'll try to, with that being, seven stories, we'll try to power through these and not make them last forever. But we do want to talk about what's happening around the military and within the VA system. So let's start off with Jay Nothing's favorite United States Navy. This article comes from Task and Purpose. Those of you who aren't familiar with Task and Purpose, it's a military news magazine.
It's about the foundry that provided faulty steel for the Navy's submarines and covered it up. So as a quick summary, we'll go in kind of the details in a little bit, but as a quick summary, this has been going on since 1985. And the company only discovered the problem in 2017. But then they went on to hide the problem from the Navy until, I believe, last year. So this is a really, I don't know how else to say it, it's a really shitty situation for the Navy, because now for, let's see, 35 years, they have been outfitting their submarines with subpar steel. And if there's one vessel in the Navy that you don't want to have any weak parts, it's the submarines.
Yeah. they got enough pressure as it is going on.
You ever watch Down Periscope where he puts the damn string across it and says, "Watch this"?
They do that. They actually do that. In the middle of the ship, they'll put a string up when they first go down just to see how much compression happens.
Pressure, right.
So the company is Bradkin, and the company was the sole contractor to provide this type of steel for Navy submarines. This type of steel was specifically used in case of collisions, either with other submarines or with rocks or whatever's underneath the ocean that they might run into. Fortunately, the Navy says, now mind you, everything concerning the Navy submarine program is pretty classified. So I'm not sure they'd tell us even if something had gone wrong. But the Navy says that they didn't have any issues, and they caught it, and now they're refitting the subs with proper steel. So let's just take that at face value for a moment and be thankful for that. The problem was Bradkin's former director of metallurgy, who was hiding this problem with the steel and just passing it off and grading it and saying it was fine and sending it on down the line. And there was no other check or balance after the director of metallurgy, whose name was not released in this article. So I'm not sure who that is, but he had been doing this for a long time until he retired. And then when he retired, I'm guessing it doesn't say this, but I'm guessing that what happened is whoever took his job after he retired said, "Whoa, this isn't right." And then went back over the records and realized everything was wrong. Could have ended right there. That could have been the end of the story. They would have told the Navy. Navy would have gone after this guy. But Bradkin decided that for 3 years after discovering the problem, they were going to lie about it and say this had never happened. So now the entire company, as well as the former director of metallurgy, is in trouble. There's been a $10.9 million settlement reached in the civil lawsuit between the government and Bradkin. And there are still criminal charges pending. So what do you guys think about it?
So director of metallurgy, Bradkin Inc., Elaine Thomas.
Somebody needs to go to jail.
E-L-A-I-N-E Thomas, Elaine Thomas.
Elaine Thomas is the spokesperson. She's not the director of metallurgy.
Well, it says right here, director of metallurgy.
Yeah, it says right here, spokesperson for Bradkin.
Whatever, you guys.
Well, what the fuck? It says whatever.
Yeah.
Well, somebody needs to go to jail.
What I'm wondering is how the Justice Department only came to a $10.9 million settlement over it. You know how much it costs for a submarine?
Well, that's the civil lawsuit, and this is only one piece of what goes into a submarine.
Who's getting the civil on it? Sure ain't the soldiers or the Navy.
Oh, no.
No, it's the U.S. government in general, probably the Department of Defense, who will get it. But remember, we're only talking about certain fittings for the overall sub. So it's not like since 1985, the entirety of the sub and everything that goes into it was damaged. It was just these particular fittings designed for collision. Mm-hmm. So I'm not surprised that it's a low settlement number, because it probably They probably spent a fraction of that actually getting it. And that's why equipment in the military is so janky, because they always go to the lowest fucking bidder.
Well, I bet you it wasn't bulkheads or anything. It was something like rivets or something.
Probably.
Yeah.
But we don't know.
They do have, again, while the Navy refuses to admit which subs were actually fitted with the steel, there is a photo here of the USS Georgia being refitted after changing out their steel. So either a reporter got really lucky or the Navy let one slip.
I think a reporter got lucky.
But we know that this, so we at least know that the USS Georgia was impacted, but it has been refitted and is headed back out to sea. And obviously they're not going to tell us what other subs were in this process. But I wanted to ask you specifically, Jay Nothing, because you were in the Navy and you traveled at sea for quite a while during your career. Did you ever run into any problems like this on your vessels, like where something just did not work and it was the company's fault that installed it?
Actually, no, because the thing about it is when they were transferring it to, well, I was on a one of the first supercarriers, the Ranger, and that had already been through its trial and errors and everything else. And its runs, that was built in the 70s, and, you know, she just got retrofitted with the VLS system, which we were the ones testing it. But everything was pretty good. So, surface ships are a little bit more different than submarines.
Yeah,
I never climbed to be a bubblehead.
Just going to say that. I mean, I was in the Army, but I grew up a Navy brat, and this is going to sound really fucked up, but both of my stepfathers were in the Navy and on the same ship. They were both on LST 1190. LST, what they are, they're a flat bottom, and the front of it opens, and you load shit into it, and, you know. But, yeah, it's pretty much the same deal as what Jeff's saying.
Yeah, I was
I was in the Army as well, but we did have our faulty equipment, like MRAP, for example, the mine-resistant armor-protected vehicle. I don't know what your experiences were with those, Dwayne, but I know they were top-heavy as fuck and could not stay upright. And we had a specific problem where every single one that we started driving, the bottom armor plating that covers the undercarriage of the truck would just fall off in the middle of patrol.
Well, when they say military grade, anybody who's been in the military knows not to buy it.
Well, you want to know what's really, you want to try something really fucked up is take a flatbed out with two Connexes full of the reactive armor that goes on them and then come under fire.
Right.
And you got reactive armor in your damn conexes. There's some fun.
Yep, lowest bidder. But you know what? That's a perfect transition, because let's move from the Navy, and hopefully they sort that all out. If we get an update on what all comes down with that, we'll certainly tell everyone. But let's move to Dwayne and I's alma mater, as it were, the good old United States Army. So we're gonna jump to many of you may have seen about a week ago now, we shared on our social media pages about a missing soldier out of Fort Hood, and there's been some confusion, and we're going to clear up some of that confusion right now. That soldier that is missing, and she is mentioned in this article, so we'll get to her when we get to her. She is still missing. And the body that was found that we're going to talk about right now, as far as Army CID, the Criminal Investigation Division, and the Killeen, Texas Police Department are concerned, she has nothing to do with this case. So what we essentially have is two missing soldiers, but one whose remains have been found. So let's talk about this this gentleman. His name was Gregory Morales. He went missing late last year, around October, supposedly 2 weeks before he was supposed to get out, before he was supposed to finish his ETS and leave the Army. He was last seen leaving Fort Hood in a civilian vehicle. And then just 4 days ago, his remains were found. They were skeletal remains. So most likely he had been there for a very long time when they found his body. They used dental records to identify him. And the Army CID, including the police department, who were working on this, are suspecting that they say suspecting foul play is involved. They're suspecting he was murdered. I hate how the press talks about shit. this, of course, comes from the Army Times because that's the best source for Army news. Now, this relates to the missing soldier that we talked about on our social media the other day. It was Private First Class Vanessa, and I'm going to butcher her last name, Guyen, who went missing from Fort Hood in April. She basically, what happened with her was nobody knows where she went or what happened. All they know is they found her personal belongings and her cell phone in the armory where she worked, her unit's armory, and nobody's seen her since. Now, her family has been in contact with CID and MP investigators on the base to say that she had told them about a sergeant who was sexually harassing her in the unit. That has gotten back to the 3rd Cavalry Regiment commander, who is opening an investigation on that aspect of it. But as far as Private Guyen herself,
a double L in Spanish is a Y, so I would say it's Guyen.
Yeah,
that's what I've been saying.
Have you?
Yeah,
it don't suck. Guyen.
Yeah. Oh, I've been giving it the W, Guyen, yep. But it's still the L was not the problem. It's the UI. That's
funny. All right. Well, the double L is pronounced the Y.
Yes, I know. I spoke Spanish for 6 years before I lost track of it. Anyway, so what she told her family was that this sergeant, an unnamed sergeant in the unit, was following around, was trying to get a date with her, would follow after her when she ran, which I find very interesting because, and Dwayne, you'll know this because you were in the Army, but when we run in the Army, we don't run by ourselves. We run in a unit. So, of course, there was someone following you. You're in formation.
Right.
So that's a little weird. But it could be a simple case of, like, he would always make sure he was behind her in the run or something like that. Any case, very strange situation going on with her. And then you add in this other soldier who they can't – they at this point in time, at least of what they're telling the public, they don't have any information as to why he would have left. He's listed as a deserter still, but that's just because the investigation is ongoing. They don't know why he would have left, especially 2 weeks before he was supposed to be honorably discharged from the Army. And they just don't have any information. Which to me is going to bring up a larger picture that the Army's not talking about in this. And that is, what the fuck is going on at Fort Hood? I mean, that's two soldiers in completely different circumstances in, less than a year that have just gone completely missing. I understand that soldiers run off all the time. I had my fair share of shitbags when I was in the Army. Who would go AWOL or disappear. But that's clearly not what's happening in these cases.
Not with two weeks before you ETS, no.
Right,
no.
It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any damn sense at all. And it doesn't seem to be, unless they're keeping it under wraps, but that isn't, like, that's not the way CID usually plays things. It doesn't seem to be affecting any other base like this. It's just Fort Hood where these soldiers are going missing from. It's a very strange situation.
I'd expect more of that out of Fort Bliss.
On the Mexican border.
You want to talk Looney Tunes? I mean, that shit's right down there by Tijuana and everything else. I'd expect more out of Bliss, really.
Yeah, and most of, from what I understand, the air defense guys that are down there, most of their guys who go AWOL do go right over the Mexican border to do it. but yeah, it's a really strange situation. So so if you are listening to this and you live in the Central Texas area around Killeen, around Fort Hood, or somewhere nearby and would have any information about what's going on with Private Guillen, the Army CID is offering a $25,000 reward. Just contact them. Their number is easy to find. Jump on the Google and type in Criminal Investigation Division Army.
Can I make a little correction there? You said Guillen. It's Morales. Morales was the one that was found dead. That's what they're offering the $25,000 for.
They're offering the reward for both. I'm concerned.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Or at least what we assume is the living soldier. Mm-hmm. Right. And of course, if you have any information about Morales, the dead soldier, you can also contact CID, and they are offering the same reward for information about him. Like I said, as far as they can tell, these two cases are not in any way related to each other. But I was a cop for 2 years. And during that time, I stopped believing in coincidence.
Would that be something? Yeah, I was going to say, would that be something if the guy that's missing and PFC Guillen are together somewhere?
Well, Guillen is the one that's missing.
Yeah.
Morales is dead.
Maybe she killed him, and now she's on AWOL.
But isn't there a second male missing as well?
Not that I know of. If there is, that's three.
Yeah. Right, that's what I was saying. I thought there were two males missing.
Not that I know of.
Okay. Well, maybe I got my lines crossed.
Well, yeah, it's a really weird situation. So something is going on at Fort Hood, and who knows what it could be. And maybe it is a coincidence, but they just happen to both make the national news. I doubt that. I think there's something deeper going on, but I'm not an investigator on this, and I can't really speak to that. What I do want to ask is, this brings up the topic, and I've seen it amongst a lot of veterans, about the safety on military installations, how safe soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines feel on these installations. I always felt generally safe on base. In fact, I felt safer on base than off because, you know, if someone was like, for example, if we had a barracks rat back at the room and she just wouldn't leave, then you just call the MPs and they kick her off the base. but I mean, how did you guys feel when you were stationed on military installations? Did you feel safe on base? Did you feel like there was, you know, it was safer there than off, or that, you know, that they were doing what they could to protect you and your families? Talk about that.
Well, I know when I would go home on leave and I would head down to like Great Lakes Naval Base, I know even with my active duty ID card, it'd still take me goddamn near an hour to get through the gate because I didn't have proper base stickers and everything else. I still had my active duty ID and everything, but you go to site, you got to sign in at a desk, you got to get a special permit to go through the gate and everything else. And then this is back shit 15 years ago. So I can imagine what it is now.
Certainly. Though a lot of these military installations, especially Fort Hood, are absolutely gigantic in landmass. And there's plenty of areas where the MPs can't patrol. Not that I'm encouraging anybody to do anything. In fact, I'd encourage you not to. Because that's a news story we'll get to next month that I found. we're not going to talk about that one this month. Jeff, I know you were in the Navy, but I mean, yeah. Did you ever feel like you were unsafe on any Navy installations?
No. Every installation I was on, I felt safe on or off because I didn't. I guess you could say when in Rome.
Right.
It was the Romans, and I followed that to the T. And you know, when I was in California or Mayport or wherever, it was like, I'll just do what the locals are doing. I'll dress like them and I'll act like them.
True. So, I mean, I think that's three of the three of us all felt safe on the military, mm-hmm. military installation. So, for you vets out there that are still serving, and these stories have made you question your safety or whatever, I think it's safe to say you're generally safe. I mean, this is – while two people in less than a year from the same installation is disconcerting, to say the least, it's still only two people out of the, you know, almost million that serve in the Army, and then – the, what is it, 2 million on the military overall?
Yeah. And I'll even take that one step further, and Lou will probably back me up on this. Over in Iraq, the bases we had over there, they were more secure than the ones here a lot of times.
Oh yeah.
And I mean, you're hearing IEDs go off, small arms, mortars. You're hearing all this shit go off around you, EOD blowing up IEDs. Scared the shit out of you. Patriot missile launchers going off. Those bastards leave the cannon at like Mach 2, shake everything. But you'd feel more comfortable in the war zone probably than here. I mean,
it did get to a point, especially after being over there for a year and a half,
right,
the first time, where the sounds of rockets and artillery fire and mortars and stuff, and even small arms fire
became normal.
Yeah, it was normal. Comforting. You worried if there was a quiet night.
Right, if it was too quiet, something was wrong.
All right, so let's shift gears to some happy news, because those are two depressing stories. Oh, actually, I'm sorry. Before we do that, I do want to mention, I'm not going to talk about it in depth here, but please visit our website at infernallegion.org or go to our myriad of social media places. We already talked about, I already released a statement about the Order of the Nine Angles and the private who has been arrested for giving sensitive information, classified information away. I'm not going to talk about it here. I'm not going to give him nor the mysterious organization the time of day. It's all bullshit anyway. But suffice it to say that the private in question is not affiliated with the Infernal Legion, with the Church of Satan, or with Satanism in general. Now we're moving on to happy news. The United States Air Force has picked the 19th, make sure I get their rank right because they're all goofy, Chief Master Sergeant of the Air Force, who will be the top enlisted individual in charge of the Air Force over there. And they have chosen a female to take this role on, which makes her not only the first female Chief Master Sergeant of the Air Force, but the first female out of any branch to hold the top enlisted position within the military. Her name is Chief Master Sergeant, well, now of the Air Force, Joanne Bass. She's currently serving as the Command Chief Master Sergeant for the 2nd Air Force at Keesler Air Force Base, Mississippi. This was just announced last Friday. She will be replacing Chief Master Sergeant of the Air Force, Caleth O. Wright, who started his job in 2017 and is retiring later this month. So I think this is a really cool thing, both for the Air Force and for women in the service, and for the service in general, to see these to see us stepping up and diversifying the ranks in a certain way. From what I've read about Chief Master Sergeant Bass or Bass, I'm not sure how she wants that pronounced. If I was a drill sergeant, I wouldn't care. So.
Yeah.
She's had a very, decorated career. She has a giant ribbon rack. And only in the military is that a compliment.
Well, I'll tell you what, everybody in the Air Force has a giant ribbon rack.
Yeah, you get one for just going to boot camp.
I'm telling you, I've seen staff sergeants that look better than our generals.
It's a really cool thing now. But I do want to ask you guys specifically, because every branch has this position, the top enlisted position. Dwayne, we had the Sergeant Major of the Army.
Sergeant Major of the Army.
Yeah, Jeff, I forget what the one in the Navy is called.
Master Chief Petty Officer of the Navy.
Right. I know what it says that they do. Like, you know, for example, they are the voice for the enlisted to mm-hmm. the highest brass in their branch. They oversee and change training procedures as necessary. Basically the job is an enforcement one, make sure that the regulations for like uniform wear are easy to understand and things of that nature. What I don't know is what they actually do, because that's what it says that they do. But I had the chance once to spend about a week with the sergeant major of the Army when I was in, and it seemed to me like all he did was drink coffee and make jokes with officers. And oftentimes at their expense. So, did you guys ever feel, I guess you could say, the power of the chief enlisted individual when you guys were in? Because I never felt any changes from the sergeant.
No.
I never felt anything coming down.
Just uniform changes.
Yeah,
little things like that. Like, make sure this is an inch higher, or make sure you wear this on this side from now on, that kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems to me to be a largely
ceremonial
kind of role in the military. But nonetheless, that's awesome news for the Air Force and for the military, and of course for Chief Master Sergeant Bass. She will be taking over that role, I believe, next month, on the 1st of next month. So here in about a week.
And the month after that, she'll be moving into Chief Master Sergeant of Space Force.
Well, good news there. So what we're going to do right now, we're going to take a quick break so you can hear what other fantastic shows are on Radio Free Satan. And we're going to come back. And like I said before, I promise that we will have a cooler name for the show next month. And that it'll run a little bit more smoothly, because we're just finding our feet with this kind of format. So we'll get there. But thank you guys for listening to the official Infernal Legion podcast, and we'll be right back after this.
In 1966, Anton LaVey created the Church of Satan, marking the beginning of the Age of Fire and Year One Anno Satanas. In 1969, he published The Satanic Bible, codifying Satanism as a religion, the first time it's been done in human history.
In the name of Satan, ruler of the earth, king of hell, come forth from the pit, bestow the blessings of hell upon us. For we are your children, and we invoke thee this night.
In 2001, I was appointed High Priest of the Church of Satan. In 2007, I published the Satanic Scriptures, further defining and expanding on Satanic philosophy and greater magic ritual.
Hail Satan, full of might! Our allegiance is with thee! Cursed are they! The God adorers! And cursed are the worshippers! The Nazarene eunuch.
For the past 50 years, the Church of Satan has stood as the sole organization to define and defend Satanism as a religion. And though pretenders to the infernal throne have come and gone, we have stood the test of time and will into the future. Visit churchofsatan.com for more information and read the Satanic Bible and the Satanic Scriptures. Knowledge is the solution for ignorance. Hail Satan!
Hail Satan!
This is Reverend Gene, the host of Vox Satane, exclusively on Radio Free Satan. Join me every week as we indulge in the classical side of music spanning the past 1,000 years. Vox Satane has already featured over 700 composers covering medieval, baroque, classical, romantic, and contemporary music, including chant, choral, opera, keyboard, and orchestral music, with composers ranging from Gluck to Gilmour, Bach to Bellavance, Talis to Taverner, and Paganini to Pärt. Get your weekly recommended dose of classical music right here on Vox Satane, only on Radio Free Satan, with me, Reverend Gene. Hail Satan!
I used to flip through one television station after another, disgusted by what was supposed to pass for comedy. Seeing all of those terrible, predictable comedians made me sad, and it made me shake in my seat. I thought it was the early signs of restless leg syndrome combined with clinical depression. So I went to see my doctor. It turned out that I just needed to listen to better comedy. That's when my doctor recommended The Devil's Mischief on Radio Free Satan.
The Devil's Mischief is a one-hour dosage of comedy and novelty that's made for you, not for the masses. After a decade of biased research, The Devil's Mischief has been clinically proven to be effective at inducing laughter and whimsical feelings in many listeners.
I can finally laugh again.
You don't need a prescription to listen to The Devil's Mischief. You don't even need to visit a pharmacy. That's because The Devil's Mischief is not a pill. It's not a syrup. It's not a spray, a cream, or even a suppository. It's a podcast.
All I need is a connection to the internet.
To learn all you need to know to listen to The Devil's Mischief, visit the official website, devilsmischief.com.
Whether you like to listen to podcasts in your web browser, download an episode directly, or subscribe to podcasts with iTunes, The Devil's Mischief can help.
Side effects may include side-splitting, gut-busting, knee slaps, and slapstick. Some listeners have reported being in stitches, with gags, or finding it to be a riot. Do not listen to The Devil's Mischief while drinking a beverage. Ask your doctor if The Devil's Mischief is right for you.
Or don't. Why should you have to pay that stupid copay for a doctor's visit?
Listen to The Devil's Mischief on RadioFreeSatan.com.
Come with me, Warlock Jeff Ivins, for a time trip back to the 1980s on the Metro. I play synth pop and other hits from the decades of indulgence, only on RadioFreeSatan.com.
Attention iTunes users, if you like this show and other programs from Radio Free Satan, then please take a moment to look us up on iTunes to rate and comment on the program. You can also do the same on Stitcher.com. Look up this program on Stitcher.com, rate it, and give us a review. And that's if you like the show, of course, you know, that you want to give it 5 stars and a good review, not, you know, give it 1 star and say a bunch of mean things. But hey, if you want to do that, then I'm sure there are a bunch of Christian podcasts on iTunes that you could do that on. Anyway, thank you for your support of RadioFreeSatan.com, and now back to the program.
Welcome back to the official Infernal Legion podcast, the special news edition for the month of June 2020. And during the break, my wonderful co-host here, Dwayne, informed me that this is the one-year anniversary of the Infernal Legion podcast, something that had completely slipped my mind entirely. So let's take a moment, gentlemen, to just pat ourselves on the back. All right. No, but thank you for bringing that to my attention, Dwayne. I honestly had no idea.
Well, yeah, this is actually show 13 because we are starting the split of the Wicked Warrior and the news, as right. as we mentioned earlier. But this is actually the end of this month is the actual end of our 12th month. This probably today would have been our 12th show because we did them at the end of the month.
Right.
And this is our one-year anniversary.
And that means not only a year of us doing this show and highlighting some of the amazing veterans in the ranks of the Church of Satan, but also a year on Radio Free Satan. And I know we kind of casually mentioned this earlier, but I cannot thank Magister Gene enough for giving us this platform and for putting up with our shit for a whole year. That's
kind of awesome. Put up with my shit for years.
We've come a long way as well. I mean,
not if you listen to this episode.
We need a new mic there, Lou.
You both need a studio is what you need.
I have a studio
mic. Oh, I've got a studio mic.
But the problem is that I apparently need to restart my computer, which I can't do in the middle of the show.
No. So.
But anyway, let's jump back into the news, gentlemen, and we're going to talk about Dwayne and I's favorite topic, Space Force! That's right. There is a sixth branch of the military, and since we're doing branch-wide news, we have to talk about Space Force every month now. What a better way to open up actually talking about Space Force every month and discussing the news and the happenings and the goings-on within the Space Force than to talk about a Netflix comedy show that has the federal government running at full speed to get trademarks on the name U.S. Space Force. Oh, so for those of you that don't know, there is a Netflix show called Space Force, starring Steve Carell. It's a comedy show.
And John Malkovich.
Yes, it's a comedy show. It's a spoof of the idea of the Space Force and what it is, and also of like most any sci-fi kind of like experience, sci-fi military kind of like shows that have existed. They kind of spoof everything. It's a funny show. I've only seen one episode. Dwayne's seen the whole season that's out right now. But apparently the show came out just before – well, at least the show had its trademarks and stuff in place just before the Space Force was actually – the U.S. Space Force was actually stood up. So now the Department of the Air Force, who is in command of Space Force, is rushing – trying to get trademarks and copyrights on their logos, on the name Space Force, and all sorts of other things.
Well, Netflix went through the whole thing of making their own uniform, their ranks. I mean, the Navy guys are called seamen. The Air Force guys are called airmen. These guys are actually called fucking spacemen. Steve Carell walks around talking to his soldiers. Now, spacemen, you know, blah 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 blah. It's unbelievable.
So Netflix,
and you can come from any branch of the service. You do not have to come from the Air Force. It's kind of like being a SEAL.
Oh, okay, I got
you. You come from any branch because you got all your intelligence branches and communications and all that shit. So any branch can meld into the Space Force and become Space Force.
So I'm going to speak a little bit of legalese here. the show, Space Force, the production company and Netflix – they applied for their trademark. They submitted their trademark applications in January of 2019. The applications they submitted are both to the United States, Australia, Mexico, and parts of Europe. On the other side, the Air Force has a single pending application only inside the United States, and it's only for an intent to use. It's got to trademark.
There's the Air Force for you.
Oh. I guess Netflix didn't want to fuck with China, huh?
Nah.
So what's probably going to end up happening, because it is the government and the military we're talking about, is I'm sure they'll come to some legal agreement where the branch can use the name Space Force and the show can use it, but there's going to be some kind of separation of what each is allowed to do.
In
comparison to the other. But
Bullshit. I want to see something happen like WWF, the World Wildlife Federation, fucking over the World Wrestling Federation. I want to see Space Force have to come out with some WWE bullshit or something.
Well, since they announced that they were going to be part of the Department of the Air Force, similar to how the Marine Corps is part of the Department of the Navy, I've said Space Force is a stupid name. They should have called it Space Corps.
Yeah.
But, you know, what do I know? That's the fun part of the whole thing, is that while it's probably going to end in an amicable, like, legal settlement saying what the rights and responsibilities are of both parties, the fun part of it is to think that Space Force, which has already come under so much controversial fire because of the way that it was instituted and set up, might lose their name to a Netflix comedy show. If that doesn't sum up 2020, I don't know what does.
And while I'm not going to give any of the show away, I'm going to tell you, the things that you can imagine that spacemen, space soldiers would be doing, they do in this son of a bitch. I mean, they go up there and fight on bases on the moon, and it's unfucking believable. And of course, it's against China.
No, I've seen the for the actual military branch. I've seen the I don't know what they call them, but the MOS listing, basically the jobs listing,
right,
of what they
right.
And I don't have it in front of me, so I don't remember the exact name. But there's basically like the base level, just like space operations specialist or whatever it's called. And that's like their version, I guess you could say, of like what we had in the Army, had the infantry, and in the Navy, they have bosun's mates, where you just like, that's just kind of what you start that direction. Mm. And you can stay on that if you want, but there's like a whole list of other careers you could end up taking. And I'm having trouble kind of processing through my mind what that would entail. Like satellite communication specialists and intelligence specialists and things like that. I totally get it. I see where their job is, but what does just your base level space operations do?
Mob of four.
Space Force jobs: a 13 Sierra is space ops. A 1 Charlie 6 is a space systems operator. A 14 November is intel. A 17 Charlie is a cyber ops officer. A 17 Delta is just a cyber ops NCO. And it goes on. There's like...
So what exactly does just a base level space ops guy do? Like, I'm pretty sure it's like Jay Nothing said. They just mop the floor.
Yeah.
Fusion analysis, cyber ops.
Because, all those other jobs, that you could tell by their name what they're kind of doing.
Yeah.
But what's the ultimate version of Space Force?
Here's a job.
Go out there and paint the satellite?
Well, see that star over there? Why isn't that star blue?
Go over there and whitewash that bitch. Make it brighter. Put some Brasso on that bitch.
I tell you what, the next few months, as we talk more and more about Space Force, with the other branches, of course, it's actually going to be a chance for us to learn more and more about Space Force. And I have a feeling this is going to be our comedy moment of the episode.
Geospatial intelligence.
What?
I think every branch has that. All right.
Senior material leader, upper echelon. That is a job title.
I don't think they gave it two thoughts.
I'm guessing that's not an entry level job.
It's a 63 golf.
I guess that's not entry level.
No.
All right. Anyway, let's move on. We're going to head back out to the ocean, which I know makes Jay Nothing extremely happy. We're going to head back out on the high seas. Well, the Caribbean Sea. And we're going to talk about our what's the term you guys call them? Our lovable puddle jumpers, the United States. But it's not just the Coast Guard. This is actually a cross story. So Jay Nothing cheated, and he's got the Navy on here twice. But we've got – it's a Navy Coast Guard cooperative exercise, which concluded in 4 successful interdictions within 4 days on the Caribbean Sea. The only reason I'm bringing this up is because the amount – that they seized here. This is not just drugs, mind you. This is drugs and human trafficking and animal trafficking and things like that they interdicted with here. Came out to over $79.6 million worth of seizures in 4 days. That's pretty damn impressive.
Yeah. Very impressive.
They disrupted a combined 112 smugglers, pirates, and things of that nature out there. And, this takes me back to when I was a young soldier, and I was just in, I was talking to a retention NCO for the unit who had been a recruiter before he got in that position. And he used to tell me, I always thought he was joking, but stories like this are the reminder that it's absolutely true. He used to tell me when kids would come in and they'd want to, you know, join the Army, he'd ask them, well, what do you want to do? You know, which is a fairly common line from a recruiter. Like, what are you interested in? What kind of things get your mind going? And the obviously the amount of dumb, young 17, 18-year-old kids that come in and say, I want to go to war. I want to shoot shit, blow shit up, right? And whenever he got one of those kids, he said he always referred them over to the Coast Guard. And
Jeff, when you just did that, I just got a fucking picture of Niedermeyer in Animal House. What are you gonna do with your life?
That's what I got.
Rock. I'm sorry. Were you laughing at that too?
I was.
Anyway, so the point was, he would direct them to the Coast Guard, and now everyone in the military. Well, the regular military, I should say, is like the Coast Guard, the fucking Coast Guard. But here's the thing. These guys are out there doing this every single day of the week. They're the only branch of service who is 100% 24/7 in a state of conflict because they operate as a law enforcement branch instead of a military branch.
Right.
So it wasn't until I got older and started hearing more and reading more about the Coast Guard that I realized what they really do every day. And mind you, I'm still a soldier, so I'll still make fun of the Coast Guard every chance I get. But those guys are pretty badass. And here, with the help of the Navy, they did all $76.9 million worth of crap coming into the U.S.
Yep.
That's nuts. So I wanted to ask you and get your perspective there, Jane.
Okay.
Did you ever have a chance to do any cooperative exercises like this with the Coast Guard when you were in?
No.
The ship I was on, we were deployed for other things, but the ship, one of the ships my dad was on, he was deployed with the Colonel Sanders flag flying. Mm-hmm. So that's what I call the Coast Guard flight, Colonel Sanders. So
let me ask you for your unbiased opinion.
Okay.
Who's better, the Navy or the Coast Guard?
The Navy, of course.
The Coast Guard ships only go out
Navy,
the ball
Navy's
miles.
Got better toys.
Oh, yes, we do.
That's just
though I do want to add a little caveat.
Uh-huh.
I do know somebody in the Coast Guard who wanted to do nothing but drug interdiction.
Mm-hmm.
And he was up north for a little bit, and now he's basically down here in the southeast doing that. So he may have been on, may have been one of the ones that was doing the...
oh, because he's in that area, so he might have been involved in that. Oh, interesting.
He may have been one on the ship.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the drug interdictions and the let's call them custom interdictions because it's not always drugs that they seize, but like the customs interdictions and the rescues, are pretty cool jobs, quite honestly. comparatively, like across, if you look at all the military and you look at cool jobs that exist in the military, mm-hmm. those are pretty cool jobs. Now everything else in the Coast Guard looks boring as hell. but
well,
those two
actually,
jobs.
the ones that do the drug interdiction are the Coast Guard's bosun mates. They're the ones who go on in the small boats and go over to the seas vessels.
But that's after they have additional law enforcement training. Right?
Yeah.
Well, your bosun mates are just like the Army's.
Yeah, we covered that.
Yeah. I just
wanted to jump in there and make sure there was a good jab at the infantry.
Yeah, right. Hey, I need to take a step back here a second. I looked up something here, Lou, and this is going to sound really fucked up, but it's right in front of me.
All right, go for it.
Right now, as of when this article was written, the Space Force that Trump has put together is comprised of 14 sailors, 26 Army, 2 Marines, and 2 airmen.
Yep.
You have 2 airmen.
And 14
Navy guys. It's a division of the Air Force, and you have 2 airmen.
What they did was they took the U.S. Air Force Space Command and made it its own branch of service.
Well, I understand
So all those, the sailors, the Marines, the soldiers that were already assigned to the Air Force Space Command are now just Space Force. They just don't have their uniforms yet.
I just looked at it as surprising that there were only 2 Air Force airmen. I mean, the Army has more soldiers in the Space Force. Well, I guess the Army is probably the biggest service out of all of them, too, but still.
Well, and the Army has more specialized positions.
So right, they fit right.
That kind of mission. Yeah. Because the Army likes to divide everything. Like, the second you figure out that this part of the job could be its own job on its own, they create a whole new MOS for it.
And the Navy, they just combine shit.
Right. Yeah, the Navy basically does the opposite of the Army. You're like, yeah. Oh, well, these 3 jobs are kind of similar. One guy can do all 3.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move on to everyone's favorite United States Marine Corps and their
0311. Interesting.
All right, so the United States Marine Corps down at Paris Island, which everyone – it should be familiar with from the Full Metal Jacket movie. which is where they handle their the main part of their boot camp, though. I guess they have a second recruit depot out in San Diego.
Yes. Yeah. 29 Palms?
No, it's
recruit. No. San Diego and Paris Island are the boot camps.
Yeah.
Right, but isn't that 29 Palms?
No.
No, it's called Recruit Depot San Diego.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, if you talk to anybody who goes to Paris Island, they call the people to go to San Diego the Hollywood Marines.
Right.
So, this is going to be the second largest study of the COVID-19 or the. Take a time out real quick here, Joe. Okay. So, this is the second big study of COVID-19, the coronavirus, and its impact on military troops. And they've gotten 1,000 recruits that are getting ready to go through boot camp for the Marine Corps to sign up to be a part of this.
They were probably voluntold.
Right.
Please walk through the CS chamber.
This is an article from military.com. And I remarked to the guys before we started recording that it goes out of its way to explain that these recruits had the choice of volunteering. Yeah. But anyone who's been in the military and been right before they step into basic training or boot camp knows you don't have a choice on anything.
That's why I said voluntold.
But they call it the COVID-19 Health Action Response for Marines, or CHARM. personnel from the Maryland-based Naval Medical Research Center are leading the study. The study started May 4th, and it will last approximately 4 months, or basically one cycle of boot camp trainees. They also have enlisted drill instructors who had previously tested positive for COVID-19. So they're going to be involved in this as well. And I don't want to sound too negative, but I'm willing to bet that those drill instructors who previously tested positive and have now gotten over it are probably going to be the drill instructors for this cycle of 1,000 Marines who are getting tested.
That we are going to lovingly title Charm Force.
Right?
Yes.
Charm Force!
Oh, and I know Marine
that I'm going to call that too.
Call him the Charm Force.
So we talked last month, you guys remember, we talked last month about the USS Theodore Roosevelt and the outbreak of COVID-19 on that ship. and what was going on with the commander of that ship, the captain, I should say, of that ship, and whatnot. That was the first study. Apparently, that study just wrapped up a month ago, and they are using that information in this charm study as well to kind of get an idea of how COVID-19 passes through the ranks and how much of a threat it really is to military personnel and things of that nature. The volunteers, quote unquote, at Paris Island have agreed to give a nasal swab test and saliva test and blood samples 6 times over a 56-day period, which is their boot camp. So it's going to be day 1, day 7, day 14, day 28, day 42, and day 56. And this is how they are going to compile the data for this information. Now, what a hell of a way to be welcomed to the United States Marine Corps.
No, I was going to say something. No. No.
Well,
The IQ level
of most Marines are not that high. Come on, you know that.
Now, what's also interesting is that it looks like once the numbers started growing of the military is no longer releasing information about outbreaks at specific locations for intelligence reasons. Mm-hmm. But there was an official at Paris Island who who ratted out the Marine Corps and said that there was a total of 150 cases right before the country went into lockdown. So there was 150 cases of COVID-19 on Paris Island, and that's when the Marine Corps started locking down and have been making recruits who come in wait at the Citadel Military College, which is about 75 miles north of Paris Island. They have to wait there for a 14-day quarantine before they're allowed to actually go to Paris Island and receive their drill instructors and whatever.
Reception battalion.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know what Marine Corps basic training, boot camp, and infantry school and whatnot is like, the Marines go through 13 weeks of boot camp. Technically 14, because they have a week of reception. So 13 weeks of boot camp, and then they go into a 3-week infantry school, and that's every Marine goes through the 3-week infantry school. And then they go on to their specific MOS school, or what in the Army we call the AIT. They go on to that. That could be anywhere from 6 to 27 weeks, depending on what your job is. How much would it suck to add 2 fucking weeks to that amount of time?
I don't know. Putting in a 27-week AIT, I guess 2 more weeks ain't going to fucking kill me.
It's interesting, and I will be very interested to see what the results of the study are, whether they were truly volunteered or whether they were completely voluntold. I am looking forward to see what the results of this are. What I do know is that the military has had a pretty high infection rate of COVID-19, which is understandable considering what the job entails and the close quarters that you keep with other people. But they've also had a lower death toll than the surrounding civilian population. And I'm guessing that most of that is due to the fact that the overwhelming majority of the military is young, in shape, people who have already been tested for any underlying conditions that might add to it. Yeah. So they're healthy, they're in shape, they're constantly exercising and eating healthy and whatnot. So I'm sure that has a lot to do. But it's an interesting time to be alive, gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
Any more jabs at the Marine Corps you want to take?
Well, for anybody who wants to know what a 0311 is, that's an infantryman in the Marine Corps. Everybody has a 0311. Even if you're an air traffic controller, you just get to your first duty station, if your group's going out to the field, 0311, you're out. You're going to the field.
Yeah, the Marines are famous for the old Marine first job leader.
Yeah.
Everyone is a rifleman.
Mm-hmm. Whoa, was that everyone's a target?
One last piece of news. We're going to talk about everyone's favorite, the Department of Veterans Affairs. This is going to be a brief one because this is a bigger joke than Space Force. This is directly from the VA's website. And the article is titled, Veteran Trust in VA Reaches All-Time High.
Yeah, right.
The U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs announced that veteran trust in VA reached 80% in April, reflecting a 19% increase since January of 2017, which apparently is the last time they did the study.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to go into all the breakdown of the numbers and all of that stuff in this because I can – it's purely anecdotal, but you know, we do run a VSO. And we talk to vets pretty much all day, every day. What's and that? I'm just going to jump out and say the VA is full of shit. There is absolutely no way in hell that 80% of veterans – have a higher trust in the VA right now than they did in 2017.
No.
No way in hell. If anything, it's harder.
Yeah. Right?
Because every day more stories come out. And if you follow us on our social media, on our Twitter and on our Facebook and Instagram and things like that, you will see the sheer amount of overwhelming bullshit that the VA does where we report it and we share it with you guys. Things like the gentleman, the missing, what was he, 67-year-old vet?
Yeah.
That they just found. He had been missing since April, and they just found him in the stairwell of a VA clinic.
Yep.
There's no way in hell trust is up to 80% amongst veterans with the VA.
I'm not gonna point him out or anything because I don't have his permission to. But we got a member in the IL who was, I believe, what was he, 60% disabled? They dropped him to 20.
Oh yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. That's I think it was 10. Dropped
him to 10.
Yeah.
Oh, what a crack of shit is that? Because I mean, it's always been if you make 20%, you're in the door and you're going to be 100% someday because all your other stuff's going to, all your other records are going to catch up and shit. Yeah. And, well, and you don't take somebody from 60% down to 10%. I mean,
you don't even breach 50% in the VA unless your conditions are irreversible.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah. if your conditions are irreversible, how do you drop that much? It doesn't make any sense.
Well, they have two different categories for you. I mean, they have veterans that they give disability to that you have to come in for periodic checkups, periodic physicals, yeah. And they can rearrange your rating.
Yeah, by, there's a couple points
by your physical, points but there. Usually it don't go down. Yeah. But you get up over 50%, there is a status called full and permanent, where you won't be fucked with ever again. You go into the VA when you want to. I got a tooth that needs to be pulled. I broke my wrist. I broke my wrist masturbating.
Speaking of which, how is your wrist? Are you recovering all right, Dwayne?
Yeah, actually, I just went and put a $179 battery in my fucking Harley because it was dead. Because it's been sitting for so long.
Oh,
because
you couldn't write. Gotcha.
Yeah. I just had to go drop $179 on a goddamn battery.
Oh.
Trevor and I put that son of a bitch in this morning.
Well, I don't want to lampoon the VA too hard. but,
what? Fuck them.
In this time of uncertainty that our nation faces, when we're not sure who we can trust and who we should believe in, I can guarantee you that you cannot trust the VA because that is bullshit.
You can't trust me either, but I'll tell you what, I'll do everything I can to help you. And there are people in this organization that will tell you that I've helped them, including an ex-girlfriend. So, you know, I will help you any way I can.
That's what we're here for, to pick up where the VA falls. And let me tell you, the VA falls quite frequently. But I think that'll wrap it up for our first ever Puron News show. Like I said, we'll have a better title for this, and it should run much smoother the next time once we figure out exactly how we're going to do all this. But I want to thank everyone for tuning in, and thank you guys for letting us know during the downtime how you'd like these shows to be, like what makes them easier to listen. I want to encourage everyone out there to obviously check out the other amazing shows right here on RadioFreeSatan.com. And I want to encourage you to visit the Infernal Legion at InfernalLegion.org. We have a Facebook page. We have an Instagram page. We have a Twitter page. We have a MeWe page. And we're on the Undercroft. We're everywhere. Just look for Infernal Legion and ignore the black metal band. They don't exist. until next time, we will be doing another news thing, but it'll be a little bit different even than what we normally are going to be doing, because we'll obviously be talking about the 4th of July and the anniversary of the United States of America. So,
before we go, the day we're recording this, Korean War.
Ah, yes. Yep, it is the anniversary of the Korean War.
Yep. I wanted to make sure that I got that in there.
Yeah, what kind of vet group would it be, right?
Exactly.
And it is the 70th anniversary of the start of the war, because there has never been a conclusion.
No.
It is still ongoing.
Yep.
So I just want to give a shout out to the Korean vets out there, and want to thank them for their service.
Definitely.
Yes.
And a shout out to all the guys currently stationed in South Korea right now.
Yeah, especially with Kim sitting there doing his shit.
Right.
Well, ain't nobody seen Kim in a while. His sister's in charge.
Maybe he got stuck on the toilet.
So, yes, it is the 70th anniversary of the Korean War. It is the one-year anniversary of our podcast. Like I said, check out all the other great shows here at RadioFreeSatan.com. Check us out at InfernalLegion.org and on all of our social media channels. And I want to thank you very much, my co-host, Satanist Dwayne Burns, our producer, Warlock Jeff Ivins. Until next time, hail Satan.
Hail Satan.
Veteran Suicide Hotline. Phone number is 1-800-273-8255. 1-800-273-TALK. And as soon as you dial that, you press number 1. Also, you can text to 838-255 for more information. But it is just as effective as chat. Support is free, confidential, and available 24/7. It is available to all servicemen and women, active and inactive, guard or reserve, and available to veterans, family members as well.